Except in the spiritual world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be directly worshipped in person. In the material world, the Lord is always worshipped as the Archiviguraha, or deity in the temple. There is no difference between the Archiviguraha and the original person, and therefore, those who are engaged in worshipping the deity in the temple in full opulence, even on this planet, should be understood to be directly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without a doubt. As enjoined in the Shastras, Ache Vishno Shiladi Gurushu Nara Mati. No one should treat the deity in the temple as stone or metal, nor should one think that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being. One should strictly follow the Shastric injunction and worship the deity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without offences. The spiritual master is the direct representative of the Lord, and no one should consider him an ordinary human being. By avoiding offences against the deity and the spiritual master, one can advance in spiritual life or Krishna consciousness. In this regard, the following quotation appears in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Padme tu paramabhyamya purvade lipchitus taye vasudeva dayo vivas tatpara patitha krama tathapada vuttocha nivasasanti kramadimi parvitti stavakunta stitta virvati prade sa yodve vaishnave loke nichakye lokapure Chirodat utre sitadvipa charavati kule Chirambudi sitante kuda priyanka dhamani satvitaye Pachittanche navavyuha prakirtittaha chakra vasudeva dhaya Narayana narishimha ko Aigribo mahakuro brahmachitta navadita tacha brahmatu vigeya Purvokta Buddhaya Hari. And this is a translation of that. That in the Padma Purana it is said that in the spiritual world, the Lord personally expands in all directions and is worshipped as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. The same God is represented by the deity in this material world, which is only one quarter of his creation. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha are also present in the four directions of this material world. There is a Vaikuntha Loka covered with water in this material world, and on that planet is a place called Vedavati, where Vasudev is located. Another planet known as Vishnu Loka is situated above such a loka, and there Sankarshan is present. Similarly, in Dwarkapuri, Prajumna is the predominator. On the island known as Shetadvip, there is an ocean of milk, and in the midst of that ocean is a place called Aravatipura, where Aniruddha lies on Ananta. In some of the Satrata Tantras, there is a description of the nine vases and the predominating deity worship in each. One, Vasudev. Two, Sankarshan. Three, Prajumna. Four, Aniruddha. Five, Narayan. Six, Nrisimha. Seven, Hayagriva. Eight, Mahavaraha. And nine, Brahma. So that's the end of that quotation of the Sanskrit verse quoted from the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, which is actually the Lagu Bhagavatamrita is citing the Padma Purana. And then Srila Prabhupada mentions that the Lord Brahma mentioned in this connection is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When there is no fit human being to empower Lord Brahma, the Lord himself takes the position of Lord Brahma. Tat Brahma tu vimiriya purvokta vimiriya hari. That Brahma mentioned here is Hari himself. So we have been discussing that pious persons, when they become, they accrue punya karma, meritorious results from their activities, and those can be derived from pious activities such as karma yoga, performing one's activities nicely according to the religious principles, especially the Vanashram, or those pious activities can be in the form of Jnana Yoga. Those who take to the renounced order of life and practice renunciation and cultivation of transcendental knowledge. Or those that Punya Karma can also be derived from Astanga Yoga, those who practice meditation upon the personality of Godhead through the different yoga practices. So they meditate upon the Lord within the heart. In the beginning, they meditate trying to first understand the self as a spirit soul, and gradually they may come to understand Paramatma as well and meditate upon him. So, by such activities, if one does not become a pure devotee of the Lord and become eligible to engage in devotional service and go back to Godhead, then they may remain here in the material world, but they can be promoted to the higher planetary systems, depending on, you know, how much merit they accrued in either Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Astanga Yoga. They can reach higher and higher planets beyond Dhruva Loka, where then you find Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, all the way up to Satyaloka. So, but then such personalities, when they use up that merit as described in the Gita, they're destined to come back down to earth, but as with everything Krishna does, it's not a sudden drop, but it's a progressive conditioning to the next destination. So they actually go to in Jamavid of 9 Vashas, and apart from Bharat Vash, they can go to the other 8 Vashas, where they live in the standard of life that may be here in Treta Yuga, where they live for 10,000 years, in extraordinary opulence, practically almost on the level of the demigods. And then from there, then they come to Bharat Vash, where again they begin their fruit of activities. So this verse here describes that. In this way, he remains near his devotees to accept the Lord, their service. So in all 9 tracts of land, including Bharat Vash, so it describes here that the Lord, he expands himself, the personality of Godhead, Narayan, in a general sense. In a general sense, if we speak of the Lord who resides in the spiritual world, we may call him Narayan. He has many different forms. One person, but he has many different forms. That Narayan expands as the Chaturvyuha. So, Krishna is the origin. From Krishna comes Balaram. And because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, all the forms of Krishna in Dwarka, Kurukshetra, they're expansions of Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna, and they expand from Balaram. And that in Dwarka, the first Chaturvyuha, Vasudeva, Sankarsan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha, is called the first Chaturvyuha expansion. And then the Sankarsan of that in Dwarka expands again as Narayan. And that Narayan exists in multiple forms on different Vaikuntha planets. That Narayan in Vaikuntha expands as a second Chaturvyuha, Vasudeva, Sankarsan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. And of those expansions on Mahavaikuntha planet, the expansion of Sankarsan is known as Mahasankarsan, who expands as Mahavishnu. And that Mahavishnu, of course, is the from him comes the material energy, and grows into Mahatattva, and then Mahavishnu expands as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. But as we hear here, that those Chaturvyuha are also situated not just in the spiritual world, but also in the material world, and which has been described in the purport there. And the Chaturvyuha, because they're extremely principal expansions of the Lord, because Vasudeva is the predominating deity of consciousness. So we all have consciousness, and just like you know, we have the water department. So the water department has all the water, but the water department is allocating water. So consciousness is Vasudeva has all the consciousness. But we also have been allocated our own individual consciousness, not unlimited consciousness, but we have been allocated. So in the Gita, it explains that Krishna is the, he knows everything, past, present, future. Everything in the past, present, future, and he knows everything about every living entity. But that is, Krishna's unlimited consciousness. We have a little knowledge, we cannot remember our past life, we have no idea what's coming in the future, even 5 minutes from now, like that. So we have consciousness, an allocation of consciousness. Sankarsan is the presiding deity of identity, or ego. Every living entity in the spiritual world, including the expansions of the Lord, have their eternal identity. And this world, and that is why, as we will hear, that in this world we have a false identity. given by the material energy, who is the consort of Shiva. And Shiva expands, his source of existence comes from Sankirtan, Maha Sankirtan. Therefore, Shiva is in charge of giving us this false ego in the material world, with Durga, the material energy. By meditation on Shiva, one can gradually come to understand one is Brahman. But unless one understands Shiva's connection with Vishnu and Sankirtan and Narayan, one cannot understand fully one's identity as an eternal servant of the Lord. So, and then Prajumna, we all have senses in the spiritual world, and a form, the spiritual senses, and in this world we have senses, and the dominating deity is Prajumna, and we all have a mind, where we think, and we have feelings about things, we have a will to do something, and that mind is the dominating deity, is Anuruddha. So, whether in the spiritual world or a perverted reflection of it in the material world. Therefore, those presiding deities exist in the spiritual world, where we all have the soul. It doesn't have a mechanical body and a mind which is really a subtle, you know, material covering. The spirit soul has mind, consciousness, intelligence, senses, but it is one with the non-different one's you know, inner self is not different from one's form, the spiritual. So, and that is described even in the Patanjali yoga systems. They acknowledge spiritual senses for the living entity. And Kaivalya, which is generally understood to be a personal realization of the self, the spirit, but according to Patanjali, it is more, it is something like our Chetadapani Marjana, the cleansing of the dust from the mirror of the mind, where one, by the spiritual potency of the Lord, one can understand one's eternal identity as the servant of the Lord. So, so these predominating deities are particularly important. And on these different branches, they're also worshipped. So, as we see, that so they're very important for the spiritual world. They're very important for giving a, you know, looking after the situation of the mind, senses, consciousness, etc., living entity in this material world, and they're very important. Even here, we see that it is described in that on the different bhashas, Vasudeva, Sankirtan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha are worshipped on four of the other eight bhashas. And then on other ones, we have different other personalities which are worshipped, which we'll hear about in later chapters. And it mentions on Bharatvash, Narayana Rishi, Narayan, or Narayana Rishi, is the presiding deity on Bharatvash. We know that, of course, Narayana Rishi is also that. When Arjuna went to see Mahavishnu, Arjuna was told that he is also non-different, that Krishna and Arjuna also appear in the form of Narayana Rishi. So, so these, and then there are other different, you know, principles. Incarnations of the Lord, such as Narasimha, or Ramchandra, etc. And they're worshipped on the Adivasis. So, but they're worshipped in their deity form. But that's not to say that they may not be there, they may not be there also personally. Such as, for example, on Bharadvaj, we know if you want to worship Narayana Rishi, there's some deities. What is that place called?
Bhadrakashram.
But at that place, Narayana Rishi also performed, his austerities and that. But generally, everyone worships a deity, which is considered non-different from the Lord. So, but these, here we see that the Lord is very kind. We discussed previously that personalities may go to these upper planetary systems and then go to these vases where they're able to worship the Lord. The Lord is very kind to them. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're pure devotees. I think in verse 11, in the last few verses you've heard descriptions about the very heavenly delights. A lot of sense gratification in these different verses. So there, the Lord is there, accepting them as devotees, because they're on the path to Krishna consciousness. So to give you an example, in the Bhagavad Gita, 1871, we see this. Sarvan Anasuyascha Sambhir Apiyo Nalaha Sokhi Mukta Sabalokan Prakriya Punyakam Nam. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, generally those who are free from sinful reactions, those who are righteous, very easily take to Krishna consciousness. So we're talking about righteous persons who are can very easily take to Krishna consciousness, they're heading in the right direction. The word punyakamanam is very significant, that word punyakamanam. This refers to the performance of great sacrifices, like the Ashwamedha Yajna, mentioned in the Vedic literature. Those who are righteous in performing devotional service, but who are not pure, can attain the planetary system of the pole star or Dhruva Loka, where Dhruva Maharaj is presiding. He is a great devotee of the Lord, and he has a special planet which is called the pole star. So this is just sitting below Mahaloka. So here it describes that they're not pure devotees. But by hearing the Gita with faith, they can attain to Dhruva Loka. Very, very elevated situation where a pure devotee is there to give his influence on that path, because they're, as Prabhupada says, they very easily take to Krishna consciousness, therefore they're given that opportunity. And so all those in the sixth chapter also, we saw that again, just showing even the Ashtanga yogis. Right, so verse 40 in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, because the Eightfold Yoga system is directed toward the ultimate realization of Krishna consciousness, Such practice is also auspicious, and no one who is trying his best in this matter need fear degradation. So, that's how Krishna takes it. That if they're progressive, then that means they're progressive towards Krishna consciousness. And Krishna takes it like that. So these persons, therefore, when they're progressive, they're not stuck and have some strange impersonalist Mayavadi philosophy that they're progressive, then they're given the opportunity where they can easily take to Krishna consciousness. And so such persons, again, just to have a look at the type of persons that achieving these destinations, we see that in Bhagavad Gita 7:16, it describes there that four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he is searching for knowledge of the absolute truth. So, Prabhupada describes that let's see if I can find the exact word. He says, these are not pure devotees because they have some aspiration to fulfill in exchange of devotional service. Pure devotional service is without aspiration and without desire for material profit. And we have that verse quoted from Nectar Devotion 1.1.11, Andhavilasadasamya, etc. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruit of activities or philosophical speculation. That is for pure devotional service. So, but we can understand that such persons, they begin to worship Krishna. They might read Bhagavad Gita, hear Bhagavad Gita, and worship the deity, etc. They may not be pure devotees, but as we hear, that can elevate them to very elevated situations after birth. They can also end up on these vases. And that's the problem which we're going to get to gradually. How to avoid that problem. How to avoid a whole long journey over thousands and thousands of years. You know, and then come back, you know, another 10,000 years. I mean, devotees don't like to wait, you know, 5 minutes for them not making some progress. And here we're talking about thousands and thousands. But just to give a summary, in verse 11, Prabhupada said there in that purport that he quoted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Erupa Brahmananda Brahmate Kona Bhagavana Ji Guru Krishna Prasada Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. And Prabhupada says that a devotee is never caught in the process of being promoted to the heavenly planets and again coming down. So he's talking about the pure devotee. And at the end of the purport, he says that those who fully engage in devotional service to Krishna, just to please him, are not interested in the three divisions of heavenly places, namely Divya Svarga, like high planetary systems, Bhoomisvarga, these vases, and Bilasvarga, in the lower subterranean heavenly planets, like that. They're not interested. They don't want to go there. A waste of time. It'd be the worst thing could happen to them. So we are talking about two different levels of devotees. Yeah, like that. And that verse, Anyamilasita Sunyam, is describing the pure devotees, which we're going to discuss. So, But again, still, we should understand how dear the Lord is, how these devotees are very dear to the Lord. So what to speak of those who are engaged, their only activity is to serve the Lord with love and devotion. You know, their goal is just to do that. They just want to serve the Lord with love and devotion. They don't want anything back. So, therefore, you know, going back to chapter 7, we see that in verse 17, that it says, of these, the one who is in full knowledge and who is engaged in pure devotional service is best, for I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. So here's a step in elevation in one's relationship with Krishna, becoming more dear to Krishna and more attached to Krishna than you know, other things that may be derived by worshipping him. So beginning to understand Krishna himself. And there it says, I read in verse 18, again on the same point. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls. So Krishna considers all of them, despite some material contamination. Prabhupada says in the purport, the Lord says that they're all magnanimous because anyone who comes to the Lord for any purpose is called Mahatma, or great soul. They're called Mahatma. So very, very elevated compared to others who may be performing Kama Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Sangha Yoga without developing that particular knowledge in Krishna, the Lord. Understanding Vishnu is very elevated. Understanding Narayan is more elevated. Vishnu, the chapter Vyuha, is more elevated. Understanding Narayan is more elevated. And understanding Krishna is very, very rare. So those who develop that knowledge is a particularly elevated stage. Therefore, they're called Mahatmas. Their understanding is beyond Vishnu, beyond the chapter Vyuha, beyond Narayan. So therefore, Mahatma, if they're developing that knowledge. But here it says, the devotees who want some benefit out of the devotional service are accepted by the Lord because there is an exchange of affection. Out of affection, they ask the Lord for some material benefit. I like that. So they're not asking others. And when they get it, they become so satisfied that they also advance in devotional service. So we're talking about, but the devotee in full knowledge is considered to be very dear to the Lord because his only purpose is to serve the Lord with love and devotion. And such a devotee cannot live a second without contacting or serving the Supreme Lord. So there we see that, you know, what to speak of going to the heavenly planets in 10,000 years in the different verses, a second. Those with full knowledge of Krishna, but still, Krishna is considering, they're not going to, you know, the devotees, they're considered pure devotees in the sense that they won't go to anyone else but Krishna. So they're pure devotees in the immature stage, if they want some, you know, even material. There's a material benefit from the devotional service, but Krishna considers it very significant that they won't go to demigods. They won't go to anyone. They'll only, so that's affection. Not my attachment, my affections. I want some material benefit, but only for Krishna. So again, it's so Krishna appreciates that. Also, they're the type of person that, when Krishna gives him something, they appreciate Krishna. And not just that, you know, there's some, you know, reciprocation of appreciation and developing a more attachment and love for Krishna. It's not that. And you know, in other verses, I think verse 20, Srimati Prabhupada says that devotees of Krishna, though, they're not particularly attached to material things. So they'll go to Krishna because everyone needs something in this material world. But compared to those who worship the demigods, those who worship the demigods, they're very lusty for material things. So they're not like that. Yes, they have some material benefit, and you know, they want to be really well situated so that they can you know, spend a lot of time, quality time in their spiritual life, but also not have to worry too much about their material life. But still, they're not particularly attached to the material benefits. They're gradually more attachment to utilizing them for the higher purpose. So there's a difference between their whole mentality. And now, which brings us to this, you know, point here, that in verse 18, Prabhupada says this, that, no, in verse 17 in the purport, Prabhupada says, "He who is situated in pure knowledge of the transcendence of the Supreme Personality of God is so protected in devotional service that material contamination cannot touch him." So the more we develop in devotional service, one may be even going to Krishna in the preparatory stage for material benefits, but that connection with Krishna is so powerful, especially if one is cultivating transcendental knowledge, they're hearing from devotees, they're associated with devotees, that the material contamination doesn't touch them. So even on these other vases, because they're getting the opportunity to constantly worship the Lord practically on a daily basis in the deity form, then the material contamination, again, doesn't affect them in the same way, and that is a very high standard of material enjoyment compared to anything you'll find in Kali Yuga on this earth. And still, the contamination is not touching them like it does to people here. So that is the... and they also appreciate that quality of being, you know, they're also attached to the Lord and their affection to the Lord because of that as well. We also hear that, you know, when demigods fulfill one's desires, material desires, they fulfill desires in such a way that they don't particularly take any care as to whether that person will become benefited or harmed or more entangled in material existence. You want the benediction, okay, you've earned it, there's the benediction. If Krishna fulfills a desire, as the Supreme Father, he fulfills it in such a way that one doesn't become more entangled. You know, so Prabhupada, you know, he asked the question, why of, you know, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, why did Vishnu maintain creation? Do you know the answer? The answer is because he's the Father. So, you know, you can get a nanny in, you can get a wet nurse in, you can get a cleaner in, you can get a plumber in, but who looks after, you know, they're under my permanent, I'm looking after their whole journey in life, and that's a father, that's a mother, that's something different. So the demigods, they're not the father. Krishna's a father, even in the form of Vishnu. So therefore, when he fulfills the desires, it's not like the demigods. You know, the parent, they know if the children ask for something and it's going to be harmful for them, and the children are persistent, they're not just going, you know, the children, you know, they want that perhaps that, you know, they've got a license, they're just learning how to drive. So you give them a car that's a bit solid, doesn't go too far. It's not like a rocket every time you touch them. You know, yeah. I don't want to drive Dad's car, which, you know, goes from 0 to 103 seconds. No, they don't do that. They'll give them a car, but not one that's going to cause them too much trouble. So therefore, you know, the government is also, you get your learners, your probationary, you want the fast car, but you're going to have to go through the stages like that. So these are the different, so they're protected. A devotee in connection with Krishna is very protected, even if they're have some material desires, and as we see in these different lokas. So what happens, we see that in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it describes how, in verse 41, that the unsuccessful yogi, that means that the person's, they're performing different types of yogas, either karma yoga, performing asamadhi yogas, Yama Yoga, Sangha Yoga, like that. Varnashram, there's a connection, if they're following properly, Dhaya Varnashram, there's a connection with Vishnu, the Supreme. If they're unsuccessful, the unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoying on the planets of the pious living entities, so they go to the heavenly planets, and then to these Varshas, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. But then the other category, or if unsuccessful after long practice of yoga, long practice or more advancement, he takes birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom, and certainly such a birth is rare in this world. So as Prabhupada mentioned, that verse is particularly relevant to the acharyas who are born in, you know, transcendental families such as Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta, Śrīla Prabhupāda, but it also applies to the children who are taking birth in families of devotees. And therefore you see that, you know, in that verse also, in the next verse it describes that, it gives the example of Jagbharat. So Jagbharat, in his previous life, he was Bharat Maharaj, and who this planet is named after. He took birth, he fell down from his practice of bhakti and yoga, because in one purport the fifth canto said, because he didn't consult his spiritual master at the time where this difficulty came up, where he became attached to a deer. So if he had consulted, you know, I'm feeling, you know, I've been living as a transcendentalist, also all of a sudden I'm completely attached to this deer, I can't even think of my, you know, usual meditation, you know. So dear guru, you know, am I on the right path here? Have I gone off? Can it, you know, what do I do? He didn't do that. So, but because he's advanced to the point of Krishna consciousness, he didn't go to the heavenly planets or the different Varshas. He took birth in a Brahmana family, in a good situation where he could revive his Krishna consciousness straight away. Therefore, if we just go back to the seventh chapter, how do we follow in the footsteps of Bharat Maharaj, Jagbharat, and devotees, and avoid that whole process of missing the opportunity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, instead, you know, get the opportunity that if we have to take a birth again, it will only be in the family of devotees, or somewhere where immediately we get the opportunity to take up devotional service again. And again, you see, Krishna is very kind like that, that even as devotees, but if our desire is that we just want to serve Krishna with love and devotion, we don't want to, you know, live in an opulent place where sense gratification consumes a huge amount of the time. Yes, we're worshipping the Lord, but many times we're just sort of absorbed in the sense gratification like that for 10,000 years or something like that. We don't want that. You know, we just, this life, next life, if possible this life, Krishna, and the next life, whenever you're ready. We just want to go back to the spiritual world. In this world, we just want to engage in pure devotional service. We don't want to waste any time. How do we do that? That is described in that verse, that 7:18, you know, all these devotees are undoubtedly made known to souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged by transcendental service, he is sure to attain me the highest and most perfect goal. So, two things Prabhupada mentions here. That, one, they're situated in transcendental knowledge. They're always hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. Their only business, whether they're worshipping the deity, you know, as a vajari, they're cooking, they're doing sankirtan, but their main business is always hearing and chanting. Prabhupada mentions that at the end of this chapter and at the very beginning of this seventh chapter, that the main process is that we, whatever service we're doing, we should imbue that with constant hearing and chanting the holy name, the glories of the Lord, like that. And by that, transcendental knowledge, full knowledge of the personality of Godhead, our relationship with Him, that knowledge of how to serve Him in pure devotional service and how to go back to Godhead becomes manifest like that, by that hearing and chanting process. So one is we're always cultivating that transcendental knowledge and the hearing and chanting process and constantly engaged in devotional service. Always actively serving Krishna in devotional service. So we're not just hearing about the glories of devotional service, we're doing it. Under the guidance of the devotee. And therefore, in that verse, Prabhupada quotes the Srimad Bhagavatam 9.468, where the Lord says, Sarva hriyam mayam taranam hriyam taham mad anyate na janti naham tebyo munagapi. The devotees are always in my heart, and I am always in their heart, in the hearts of the devotees. The devotee does not know anything beyond me, and I also cannot forget the devotee. There is a very intimate relationship between me and the pure devotees. Pure devotees in full knowledge are never out of spiritual touch, and therefore they are very much dear to me. So, if we, and by always hearing and chanting about the Lord with all the different services that we do, and constantly engaged in practical devotional service under the guidance of the devotees of the Lord, in such a way that we never forget Krishna. And if we never forget Krishna, Krishna never forgets us. And He's so kind to His devotees that you said even those who are after, they're somewhat progressing on Krishna consciousness, such elevated positions they attain, and even to then attain, before coming back to the earth, they attain these different vases where the Lord is there in the deity form, where they're learning how to worship the Lord in the deity form. The Lord is so kind. What to speak of the body who is constantly hearing and chanting about the Lord in order to perfect their Krishna consciousness and constantly engage. And then, of course, in the Gita, he gives one final clue in the 18th chapter. And he says that in 69, for one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, the Gita, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, and nor will there ever be one more dear. Okay, I'll leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. And of course, that is the process of how to not get caught in this process of being promoted to the heavenly planets and then coming down again like that. But going directly back to Krishna.
In the port to today's class,
In the purport to today's class, Srila Prabhupada and quotes Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, who says there's no difference between the deity and the Lord, and similarly there's no difference between the spiritual master and the Lord. So we probably didn't spend very much time on that.
I spent more time on that in the last class.
Oh, I missed it.
Okay. My last class was all about that point. That's why I didn't go back then.
My apologies.
Yeah. But, yes, so by worshipping the deity, we gradually get promoted to the point of transcendental knowledge where we can appreciate that both the deity is not different from the Lord, and a higher level of understanding is that the spiritual master is also non-different, the direct manifestation. So they're gradual benefits that come up by worshipping the deity, and from there we can then realize that the holy name is also non-different from the Lord. So there are progressive stages in realization, yes.
What's the significance of knowing the Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Sankarsana, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, because we're directly worshipping Krishna? Should we, keeping my senses strong, should I worship Pradyumna? To keep my mind calm, should I worship Aniruddha? To get over false ego, like
well, the main thing is that God is personal. So if you have a predominating deity of consciousness, predominating deity of individual identity for everyone, that's given by the original identity of the Lord, a predominating deity of, for their spiritual senses and spiritual mind, you can understand the spiritual world is personal. So the main principle, so many people feel that Vishnu, they still have an impersonal understanding of it. But if we understand the source of Vishnu, you have to understand Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Yuna. To understand them, you have to enter into this concept that God is personal. But yes, you can, but because some people may find it, you know, therefore you can approach that through understanding the mind on the spiritual platform, the senses on the spiritual platform, and our identity on the spiritual platform, that we actually have an identity, we don't lose identity, we actually, it's a cleansing of the dust, so that we can see as the real self, liberation. So therefore liberation is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam as the living entity's re-establishment in its constitutional position as the eternal servant of the Lord. So, now, also, if one has, you know, we all struggle with something in this world. For some, it may particularly be the mind. For some, it may particularly be the senses. If we want to, you know, make spiritual progress and settle the mind, we can, so that those deities, Vasudeva, of course, expands as Sankarshan, and Mahasankarshan expands as Mahavishnu. And it's considered that Prajumna expands as Gavadaksha Vishnu, is represented, and that Aniruddha it expands as Chiraksha Vishnu. And that if we don't understand those predominating deities and how they're related to the Vishnus, if we have disturbance with the mind, we may worship Brahma, who's representative of Kavalaksha. We worship Brahma, can pacify the senses, I think it is. He's a representative of Gaudaksha Vishnu. By worship of Shiva, gradually we come to remove our false ego. Gradually elevate ourselves up to our understanding and a relationship with Mahavishnu. The mind is Chiraksha Vishnu. So by I'm not sure, but yeah, can't remember offhand. But you can see that actually you've got the presiding deity, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha, they're connected with the Vishnus, and those Vishnus are also connected with particular demigods. So you can sort of work your way up. You know, if you're having trouble with the mind, the senses, you know, false ego, you can gradually work your way up through the demigods, understanding that they're connected with Vishnu in some particular capacity. And those Vishnus are connected with the Chaturvyuha in a particular capacity, who are connected with Lord Narayan. And gradually you get to the Lord Narayan with a full understanding that God has full capacity of consciousness, mind, senses, and eternal identity. And He is awarding all of us that too through His different expansions in the spiritual world and in the material world. And that's it.
Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that somebody who, or anybody, not just somebody, as a bona fide spiritual master should know everything, right? And so, you know, this explanation that Vasudeva represents the consciousness, etc., gives us an understanding of where we've come from, how we've acquired, or whose provision. provisioning all of these facilities, and so we then have it. And all of that information is provided for us in Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So the purpose of reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, right, reading the Bhagavad Gita, is to understand the source, you know, the source of everything. And where do you come from, basically? Where, you know, what's going on around here? And so, you know, to support what you're suggesting is that we, understanding all of these quite intimate details of the creation and the provision of all of the creation is part of understanding everything. Knowing what you know, where do you, where do you come from? And if you ask most people, where do you come from? They don't know. And what's your purpose? What's your purpose? And Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that, you know, studying the Bhagavad Gita is to understand the mission of life in the introduction. So, having a complete understanding of it's kind of a family tree, I suppose.
Yeah, succession. Is it causes?
Pantheon, I guess, or some hierarchy of Vishnu Tattva and what they do and how they, you know, where they come from, how they relate to each other. You know, I remember for me, we were having a Bhagavatam class. I think it was Chidahari who was giving class. This is 19, by the way. When I was a very young devotee, he asked the devotees, okay, who are the three Vishnus? Who's the source of creation? And I was thinking, well, I don't know. And for me, it was pretty far out. You know, this guy who, you know, lies down in the causal ocean, the universe is coming out of the pores of his skin. This is like, woohoo! What have I got myself in for here? Quite funny. But, you know, the more you become familiar with all of these details, effectively, the more comfortable you are with yourself and with all of the, you know, all of the fact that you've got material desires. And, you know, sometimes as devotees, we have material desires, but we don't even know it. You know, we become a Hare Krishna and we think, yep, I'm a pure devotee now. And then, you know, 20 years later, you discover, well, hang on a second, what's going on here? Where did that come from? So, you know, the meditation on all of these details, the study of the Bhagavatam, the study of the Bhagavad Gita, as you mentioned, it brings us very closely to the truth. You know, starkly close. And then we suddenly realise all of the connectivity and the integration of all of this. And the unity of it all. You know, the unity of what we're discovering, I suppose. So it helps us understand many of the things that are going on in our lives also. It's not divorced from our reality. You know, especially when we hear a very nice description of these things, and it kind of comes together.
Comes back to our senses and mind and body and how we work with it.
I wonder why I'm in trouble. There's all this stuff going on.
I thought I was the only one in control, but there's
So you can see the benefit, you can feel the benefit. And of course, you know, for the rest of the day, we won't be scratching our heads thinking about all this.
That's what we want.
Yeah, that's right. So at least you're not thinking about your material desires.
That's right.
You're scratching your head thinking, what's Shankarshan, how is he connected to Prajumna and Narayan? And then there's a quadruple, there's a second quadruple expansion. geez, I better go and have a look at the Bhagavad Gita and work out how they all fit together. But it's actually it's unifying, very, very deeply unifying, because you're meditating on all of this connectivity.
As an example of connectivity, I was thinking about the mind. If the mind is disturbed, you can go to the ocean. The ocean is controlled by the moon, so a higher meditation is to meditate on the moon. And it's from that you can gradually go to Vishnu. But so yes, for what the Bhagavad Gita does is it in the Gita, for everyone at any level, it gives them, okay, what you need to understand to go to the next step, just think about this. Do you understand that? We'll get you to think about that. You go all the way up, then you can think about Vishnu. But to give them, but Prabhupada is so clever, like we talked about Mahavishnu. We can have, there is a lot of technical information, but, you know, he would help us to understand Mahavishnu. He would say, you like to lie in a swimming pool on your back and float around and have leisure. Where are you getting that? That comes from God, Mahavishnu. He lays in the course of ocean and enjoys.
Where does the water come from?
He's God. He makes it himself. But Prabhupada was... Yeah, he also...
The clouds of the spiritual sky
yeah.
create the water that Mahavishnu
yeah.
lies in.
Yeah.
It's all perfectly logical. Yeah.
And Gavadaksha Vishnu, from his perspiration, the whole ocean. So we perspire, God perspires, but the whole ocean can come.
And as you say, it all comes from a personal conception.
Yes.
It's not just a, yeah. it's not haphazard or random. It's very, very systematic
mm-hmm.
with a personal basis of
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
So it's
and therefore you can see, because the personal level is like right at the end, as you're getting towards the end of it, the personal really kicks in. And therefore those who are chanting the Lord's name, which is a very personal thing, they're so elevated. The chanting of love, the name of the Lord, but this is spiritual. That personal aspect is such on a high level, but that is the top of us. And yet it's the easiest.
What you discover is that we might have thought ourselves very advanced in the beginning, and of course that's a natural position of a Kanishka. He thinks he's the best. But then after some time you realise I'm not the best, but very, very fortunate.
Mm.
Very fortunate to have Prabhupada's mercy and to be brought into the association of like-minded people who, you know, are the best, really.
Mm.
You know, we probably shouldn't be here, but somehow or other we are.
Prabhupada, I wonder though you said like that, Prabhupada, I don't have any good fortune at this point. When you come up, Prabhupada said, I have made your good fortune. That is the importance of the spiritual master. I have made it for you. Take it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just give it. Here, here's your good fortune. Take it.
Well, that's the other thing. That we, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Mahapadanyaya, the most magnanimous. And he's just giving it to everybody. And that's why Prabhupada emphasizes Sankirtan and book distribution. Because it makes the good fortune of everybody. And it's Prabhupada magnanimously distributing the Mahavadanyaya, the avatars. Blessings, basically. Yeah.
And as Prabhupada says, if you do that, you distribute that good fortune, you distribute the books, you show them. He says, Krishna immediately recognizes you.
Go out on Sankirtan. And it's eating cell four sets of Srimad Bhagavatam in a couple of days.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai, overcome.